Warming temps and heavy rains can spell trouble for your home. Don't wait for a problem. Get a free foundation inspection from PermaSeal. Stay dry, stay protected. For peace of mind, call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
Is it just me, or are we on a little earlier than the earlier than we originally were told for a late start show?
Yeah.
Because we normally start at 9, but then we were told, March Madness, so you won't be starting till 11:30. Then we got the follow-up memo. Well, it might be a quarter after 11. And then as we're driving into the station tonight, it's, get here now! Get on it early!
The game is over!
Are you here yet?
And then, of course, when we got in the building, there's a new security guard that says, who are you?
Yeah.
Why are you here?
And then my security card didn't work.
It didn't work.
It wouldn't work on one of the things. So I go to the other one. It works on that one. And then the first one works. And it was
a comedy of errors. And then you said, well, I can't speed up. Because, well, anyway, we made it. We're good. And, you know.
In fact, if you look at, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/StephenJohnnyShow, and you will see one of the pictures Johnny took that is really jumbled. That's when we got the call from Julian.
No, that's actually, as I said, my arty smarty pothole picture.
That was a great impression of me, by the way.
Thank you.
Oh, I just have to giggle. Hi.
Hi, kids.
Yeah, I think that's Ron I hear over there.
Oh, I'm laughing. Yes, I didn't realize the mic was on. So. You guys are cracking me up already.
Oh, my gosh.
Not really even started.
And by the way, we will have a couple stay with us, kids. We will have a couple of significant announcements coming up.
UTs. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, ITs.
Wow.
Well, by the way, Ron, my brother Lee.
Yes.
Saw Hail Mary.
Yes. I read his review.
Did you?
And concurred with you. He says it may be. In fact, we were blown away. Lee said it may be. And
I think I'm interrupting
myself because my brother Lee is a movie savant.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
He said it may be the best movie he has ever seen.
Yes.
Wow. Yeah. That's really liking it. Yeah. It's a real crowd pleaser. And it's really a lot of fun to watch it in the movie theater because the rolling laughter, I mean, it's there's a lot of it. And it's very entertaining. It's what movies kind of used to be. So
yes.
It is a throwback. Yeah.
Well, we intended to see it on the first Friday that it opened, but we were in Florida during spring break. You don't go to the movie theater with a few hundred thousand, actually a few hundred, but it felt like 100,000 kids who are not there to see the movie.
Although now, we got out just in time. Because now it is a few hundred thousand.
Well, I understand it was Michigan kids who were pretty well behaved because they have announcements for the state that's coming to town. And there's certain states that you buckle up. If you're from Alabama, I'm sorry, but everybody dreads Alabama coming to town. And some kids are only like an hour away from home, but things change when they get on spring break. Yeah. So we weren't able to get into a movie theater that first Friday night, which was crazy.
You are going to go see it, though, aren't you?
Oh, yes.
Oh,
yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I want to see it on IMAX because Julian also regaled us with breathless review of how much he enjoyed it. And right, Julian? That hasn't changed?
I don't know if I was breathless.
Oh, you were breathless. You were.
So good. Oh, my God.
That was you. Or maybe that was me. I don't know. Julian, did you do spring break when you were in college?
Maybe. I probably did, but I don't remember.
That's it. Obviously did.
If you don't remember, you did it.
Doing it right.
That's what I say about the 60s. If you don't remember, you were there.
Yep.
Right? It's a given. Sure.
We have a ton of things coming up tonight. A little later, we're going to talk about the premiere of the Dick Biondi movie, which is going on tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Dr. Patrick Crispin will be joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have a quick drive-by with Tom Appel, who has an update on the Hyundai seat problem recall we talked about.
Right.
But now I'm going to shut up because...
And now, a special pronouncement. Important stuff. You might want to listen. Okay.
Okay. I really will miss your choice of tunes, Julian.
Except for that one time I played a gospel song.
Oh, stop it.
Well, there is that.
All of a sudden, I remember the things I won't miss.
Tonight, sadly, because we're not going to be here next week. We're going to be in the Grand Canyon next week. Well, hopefully not in the Grand Canyon. Yeah. We'll be at the Grand Canyon.
Bob's face is great. Papa Kuda's like, oh, wait, Steve.
But this is our last night working with Julian. Julian, and I'm going to say this for because there are conspiracy theorists all over the place. This is Julian's decision. We talked with him about it off the air. Mm-hmm. He is making a move. And
he will become a spy.
Yes, yeah. He will.
I know.
He will become a spy.
I guess I let the cat out of the bag, right, Julian?
Yeah, I'm going to be doing all kinds of covert, sneaky things.
What else is new? Right?
Greener pastures.
Oh, come on. Oh, greener than Saturday nights with us for three years? Come
doesn't
on.
Get greener than that.
Greener than Johnny's fudge?
Oh, or those, what were those?
Lemon squares?
The lemon squares?
Smileys or something? What were those things called?
What?
Spatchies?
I don't know.
Help?
What flavor were they? Chocolate?
It was like chocolate, but it was also marshmallow, but it was also...
Oh, that was, I just made
Scotcheroos.
Oh, Scotcheroos.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, those are dangerous. Yeah, that's kind of a Christmas thing.
So because we ain't going to be here next week, this will be our last night with Julian.
Mm-hmm. Your voice just broke.
I know.
No.
I know.
I'm sorry.
And actually, hadn't we kind of predicted this? Because isn't April your anniversary with us?
I think so. I think it was like maybe a week or two before.
Mm-hmm.
So this would be your three-year anniversary?
Something like that. Hey, happy 3 years.
Yeah.
Bye.
Yeah.
That happens often to us, right? After 3 years, they know us, and they say, I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's it.
It's nothing to do with you guys.
Yeah. There's something about wanting to have a Saturday night and a life on the weekends, I think.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, people would come to me and say, what are you doing working on a Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you work with two of the greatest people in radio.
Aww.
You tell me you're not having a good time.
Or are they coming in tonight?
Yes.
Oh, you're so humble, Steve.
They're still in traffic.
Yes, they are. Well,
Ron, did you know that Julian was leaving us?
I did not. This was that significant announcement. It caught me by surprise. So good luck to Julian, who's one of the really good guys, one of the most likable and nicest persons here at the station. And whatever it is that you're up to next, the best of luck to you. We'll miss you for sure.
We sure will.
Now,
people
can still follow you on Facebook or a blatant plug for your photography site.
Yes. If anyone's looking for photo video services, that'll be, you can go to my website, my Instagram, saldiernamediaproductions.com, S-A-L-D-I-E-R-N-A, mediaproductions.com.
And you can see some of the videos that Julian does by going to our YouTube page, the Steve and Johnny YouTube page. And
like the video of Tommy Emmanuel that at last count has, what, over 140,000 views?
Yeah. Yep. And Julian just did some fabulous things because he would know the music and where people were going with their music and use multiple cameras all by his lonesome, also while he's running the radio station. So, yeah, we're going to miss that, Julian. Yeah,
he set a high bar.
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I was told by Steve, last phone call, what did you say? I spoiled you with my videos?
Yes.
Yes, you did.
Yes.
Well, in fact, we may see more of Julian's videos in the future.
Because he'll be lonely on Saturday night,
yes.
Right? Is that what we keep telling ourselves?
Yeah.
He's going to miss us. He's going to.
What am I going to do on Saturdays
I
now?
I know.
Oh, go on dates?
Yeah, how about that?
Well, the door will always be open, but you may not get in from the security downstairs.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
If we don't have you through the...
Well, we almost didn't.
That's what I mean.
Right.
Yeah, so.
If you're not in the portal, you might not get in here.
No more magical key card.
Right. Wow. Well, I'm just glad we came back for this.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. I wasn't going to let you leave without saying goodbye.
In fact, I have to ask, because we came back a day later than we were supposed to come back, because when we saw the forecast that had the words gorilla hail in it.
Okay, let me just quickly ask. Bob, in the studio with us, have you ever heard of gorilla hail?
No.
Okay. Ron, have you ever heard of gorilla hail?
Never heard of gorilla hail.
That's the term they were using on Thursday. In Chicago, there will be gorilla hail. And we said, what? we've been doing this for decades and no one has ever used that term. And then they followed it.
Tom Skilling has never used it.
They followed it with, and then after the gorilla hail, the pneumonia front will be rolling in.
Gorilla hail, pneumonia front, 70 mile an hour winds, possible tornadoes. Have a nice day.
Yeah. New ways to scare us is what it sounds like to me.
Well, it scared us off the plane because we found out that the exact same flight, the exact same time, nonstop from Panama City Beach, Florida to Chicago was on Friday. And we said, you know what? If there are two seats, just move us up a day, which was really fun because we got to be in the airport with the Michigan kids that were leaving after spring break.
Yeah.
Oh, they look tired. They look
and
worn
it was
out.
Fascinating to see how many of them were dressing the same way.
How many look the same?
Yeah.
Because at one point, Steve said to me, those girls over there, do you think that they're sisters?
They honestly look like they were sisters.
And I said, well, then that means the two behind them, the two over there, the three over there, and the
five
over there.
That's a large family.
They all look the same. All wearing. And this is kind of refreshing because there wasn't a whole lot of skin. I guess they'd already shown the skin during spring break. Their clothes were like four sizes too big. Sweatshirts and sweatpants, and they were wearing the Birkenstocks, and their hoods were pulled up, and they were just kind of hiding in their hoodies like, I'm going home. What happened this past week? You could just imagine the thought balloons over their head.
But there was the one person that we saw that was not staring at their phone. They were reading a book.
I wanted to take her picture.
Dun, 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 dun.
And there were all kinds of friends around her, and she was totally engrossed in her book. And I thought, wow, would it be weird if I stood up and snapped a picture of her? Because she was in the midst of like eight other girls, and they were all looking at their phones, except for her. And she had her paperback book open, reading it.
Did you happen to notice what the title was?
Yeah, I meant to remember because I thought, I got to get that book. It's better than what her friends are saying and doing. Julian, you're getting well wishes at 312-981-7200. Our listeners will miss Julian, too.
Thank you, Stacy.
Yes. We just may have to shut down the show.
Yeah.
Yes, that's it.
Yeah. Maybe this is going to be the night that we play all of
Red Peters.
Oh, and what am I supposed to do next week?
That's right. Yeah, well, we have to come back for Bob. Well, next week, because there's a hockey game next week that goes till 12:30.
And this is the other part of the special announcement.
Yes.
We ain't going to be here next week. It will be a best of replay because it'll be a short show anyway. But next week,
like
we're going to be at the Grand Canyon.
I like encore because best of leaves us open for criticism. Just say encore replay.
Okay.
Yes, we're going to go to the Grand Canyon to celebrate young Joseph's 10th birthday.
And I have wanted to take Johnny to the Grand Canyon ever since we got married. I've been telling her tales of the wonderful time I had with my dad at the Grand Canyon in 1975. And now you're going to be able to see the Grand Canyon.
On our 42nd anniversary.
Yes. Well, it's going to be like a second honeymoon.
Yes, with our 10-year-old grandson. Celebrating our 42nd anniversary on the 7th of April, which also just blows my mind.
Yeah.
I know, and you looked at me like, really? Is it 42 years?
Yeah, that just doesn't.
I'm serious, Bob. Didn't he have that look like, whoa?
He was looking at you like, what?
42 years? Okay.
So we're going to do some shout outs. And let me start with some of the people that are checking out our blog. Hello?
That's weird.
What was that?
Something's going on this side.
Okay.
I'm going to break the radio station.
Well, and again, because we're going to play all of Red Peters tonight.
You know, that's
this
right.
This is the right not to do. Okay. Some of the people who are nice enough to check out our blog, and we hope you will too, you can go to steveandjohnny.wordpress.com. We would love it if you would subscribe to our blog. It's free. We don't spam you. You just get an email anytime we do a new post. And I find this fascinating because I get a printout each week of the different countries that are checking out our blog, and they do it in order. So I find it fascinating that after the United States, we have Hong Kong, SAR, China.
Mm-hmm.
That's the second country in the order of the number of people from the country that are checking out the blog. Then the third would be Singapore, Fourth is Germany. Fifth is Belgium. Sixth is Finland. Seventh is Japan. Eighth is the United Kingdom. Ninth is Canada. And 10th is Vietnam.
That's a new one.
So thank you to everybody who's checking out our blog. And also want to say hi to Debbie Tusick, who said, hi, guys. Welcome home. Welcome and back safe. Hopefully you brought back some warm weather. We tried.
That's right. This is the spring of deception, because we've already had one spring. The spring of deception, we're going to have our third winter, count on it. Mm-hmm. Eventually, we'll get to the pollination spring, mm-hmm. when we're all walking around stuffy-nosed and rubbing our eyes going, oh, I love spring. More shout-outs. Got a lot of Illini fans that are happy tonight and understandable. They did great this afternoon against Iowa. Tomorrow is Tennessee versus Michigan. A listener wants to know, since I am a Tennessean, I don't often say that, but I did go to UT. I'm not rooting for them tomorrow. It's Michigan all the way tomorrow, but I digress. So let me say thank you for tuning in to Bob and Sherry in Arlington Heights, to Sherry Hanrahan in Romeoville, to George Clement, who listens every Saturday night in Augusta, Georgia. Joyce and Steve are in Bloomingdale. Also tuned in tonight is Sherry in Bolingbrook, Mike from Elmwood Park, Stacy Drager in Algonquin, Scott in Pierre, South Dakota. And let me jump over here to the folks who checked in online. And you can follow us on Facebook. And we're incredibly active on Facebook. And let me roll through some of these names. We have Lloyd Moncrief, who's listening on his Walkman. Good old Sony Walkman, mm-hmm. from Ottawa, Illinois.
I wonder if it's one of the AM stereo ones.
Oh, yes. Those were wonderful. Linda Moeller is in Oklahoma, the panhandle. She says, it's no man's land, but we sure do have a bawdy and lawless history. We should get her on the air sometime to talk about that bawdy and lawless history.
I like that.
Yes. Beverly Ann Goodall is tuned in. She was a big fan of Dick Biondi. He used to take her transistor radio to bed from Highwood, Illinois. Diane Vasquez, who is our graphics guru, she's tuned in. Roy Phillips is in Northwest Illinois. Dan Kendall is in Dublin, Ohio. Ha ha. Had you wondering there. Lynn Kinzer's in San Antonio, Florida. Bobby Danos is out in Sammich listening on his clock radio. Christian Moberg is in McCoyne, Wisconsin. Bonnie Pearson's in Grays Lake. Helen Thomas is in Kenosha. Jan Reinhardt is in the laboratory.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, I got to thank Diane Vasquez for the cute Have a Happy Saturday graphic that she made for us. Chuck Snitchler, best friend of this radio show and this radio station, is tuned in from Valpo. Susan Powell is in Memphis. Tom Appel is tuned in. He will chat with us a little after one tonight with an update on a big story we covered last week. Louise Bigos is in Beecher. Patty Ford is listening. Big Dick Biondi fan as well. She tunes in every Saturday night. Peter Jakubowicz does the same thing. Carrie Johnson's in Palm Coast, Florida. Debbie Hardiman is in Waukesha, Wisconsin. Karen Mary in Bolingbrook. Tracy Douglas is in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah.
Tom Murphy's in Lakeland, Florida. Nancy Holland's in Northbrook. Susie Schimmel is in Illinois. She said, I'll be listening after Illinois beats Iowa. So she checked in real early on Saturday afternoon. Nancy Witt is in Milwaukee. Margaret McCaslin is in Rochelle. Chuck Gorsuch in Burlington, Iowa. Diane Hansen in Menominee Falls, Wisconsin. Eric Baum sent a beautiful picture from
this
Wells.
This is a great picture.
Wells Beach, Maine.
And again, if you want to see the picture that Eric sent in, go to our Facebook page and just scroll down under, it would be the second post as you're scrolling down, the one where we said what we have going on tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Great picture.
Plainfield is checking in. That's Marie Weiss. Michelle Fairfield is in Peoria. Ellen Maria is in Marengo. Joan Smith is in Holland, Michigan. Peggy Davis, can we go to Holland, Michigan sometime? I want to go see the tulips there.
Okay.
Because we can't grow tulips because we have horrible squirrels. Just honorary
squirrels.
That's
true.
They actually dig up the tulip bulbs, climb up to the second floor, mm-hmm. sit on my windowsill, and juggle the tulip bulbs just to make me crazy.
Yep.
I beat you to it. Right. I stand in the kitchen going, you, and I'm shaking my fist and they're looking at me. And if they had laughs, they'd be going, hee, 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 while they're
By the way, that's exactly how they sound.
While they're juggling my damn tulip bulbs. Small fortune.
Are they juggling your tulips or are they just glad to
stop
see
it?
You?
Becky Davis is tuned in. Wants to know if our show is available on podcast. Yes, it is. But it's not immediately available.
Right.
Things happen. Anyway.
You can always find the podcast linked on our blog mm-hmm. and on our Facebook page and on all of our other social media sites.
And all the ships at sea. Dot Nirbo is listening, as Dick used to say, on top of a whole pizza. So many people have great memories of that song.
Yeah.
Priscissa. This would be Priscilla. Gilbert Stegg is in Joliet. Nora Brozanski in Aurora. Sharon Malone in K-Town. Patrice Tintari in Northwest Indiana. Sharon Malone, Nora Brozanski. Scott Cooper is in Naperville. And Todd Moe is in Egg Harbor, Door County. Boy, they got walloped with snow.
Wow, did they?
That was unbelievable snowstorm they were dealing with.
One of our favorite places, Al Johnson's restaurant,
yeah.
had to close down for the first time, I think, ever.
I think, yeah. Penny Scaletta, I'd love the name, but I botch it every week in Frankfurt. And a bunch of people that are checking, like Bonnie and George, they're with us every Saturday night. And we really appreciate that.
We got more coming up. In fact, we're going to talk about the Dick Biondi movie, Dick Biondi, the Wild Italian. A dear friend who I was thinking about this earlier. We talk often about we're very fortunate to work at this radio station, and we have worked with some legends who just ruled the airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
Wally Phillips, Bob Collins, Spike. In the 60s, at the Once Big 89, Biondi had about 80% of the available audience.
Amazing.
Which is, nobody's ever come close to that statistic.
And he continued working in radio for the next decades, literally decades. So kids grew up and then introduced their kids and grandkids to Dick Biondi. And there's a woman that we want to introduce you to. This is... Her story is so wonderful because she's a classic case of a person who has a dream and they work so hard and they have so much patience and their dream comes true.
We first had her on several years ago. When this was just in the very early stages.
Yes. Her name is Pamela Pulice. And Pamela, thank you for joining us tonight on the radio. Were you grinning as Dick was singing?
I was laughing. I mean, that voice.
I know.
Just voiceless.
And for anybody who doesn't know, that was a legitimate hit record.
Yes.
Awful, but the fact that it was awful was wonderful.
Yes.
It was just funny.
Because it was Dick Biondi. So I said, you are realizing a dream come true as of tomorrow. Let's talk about you. And when did you first meet Dick Biondi?
Well, okay, first of all, Steve and Johnny, it's wonderful to hear your voices and be on with you again. Thank you so much.
Sure.
I was 13 years old. It was 1960, May 2nd, the night that the Prairie Farmer made the overnight switch to Top 40 radio, 24 hours of Top 40 radio, and all the kids were going crazy. And I remember it well because I was tuning in. Well, I tuned in the morning to hear the farm report, and I was hearing rock and roll music. And that night, I heard this crazy Biondi on the air. Nothing like him had ever, we had never heard anything like this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hooked immediately. And I was just an avid listener, and I would listen every night. And, he was on from 9 to midnight, which means with WLS being a clear channel station, he was heard all across the country.
Right.
Sure.
And, in fact, bounced around the world in many places.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why his ratings were so high, I guess, because we thought he was just our local disc jockey.
Yeah.
It turned out he was known across the country and, a lot of places. So I found that out later when I did my research, but... when I was a kid, I met Dick in the summer of 1961, He was doing a remote over at the Hillside Shopping Center, which was the place to shop at the time. And I went over there with my sister and my best friend, Joan, and my sister's best friend. And we just went over to see Dick, and there he was coming in on a, in a helicopter. And, you know, that's how popular this guy was. So we got to talk to him, and honest to God, I never expected somebody of his stature to be so kind, so warm, and I'm sure you know that about him.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I was completely taken with him, and I thought, you know, this guy is really special. So I had a fan club for him out in my little, you know, it was a little grassroots fan club out in Villa Park where I grew up. And that's where I got to know Dick, and I knew him my whole life. And that's, I knew his story because I had been part of it, and I always wanted someone to tell it. And gosh, it turned out to be me, of all people, my first film.
But it took you forever, and as Johnny was saying, the patience and persistence you had to make this dream come true. In fact, I have to pause just for a second. I don't want to compare this to any woman who has ever given birth, but after all the work and all the time, and now this is the eve of the premiere of this movie, how are you feeling right now?
I'm literally pinching myself. This is unbelievable. I'm just, it's like you say, it's been 12 years now.
Amazing.
And I never, you know, I when I started out, I was scared. I was like, I don't know if I can do this. And I wanted to do something really good for Dick. You know, I didn't want it to be some schlocky little thing. You know, it had to be right. So Dick gave me a list of people to interview. And I tried my very best to get all of them. Of course, I didn't quite get everybody, but I sure got most of them, major rock stars and radio people. Mm-hmm. And they're all in the film. And I'm just, like I said, I'm pitching myself because it's actually happening.
It's going to happen, Well, we'll give people all the details in just a moment, but I've got to take you back to the beginning because I am sure a number of people approached Dick Biondi and wanted to write his story or maybe make a movie about him, and he turned them down. And you, who were the president of his fan club, he said, yeah, let's do it. That in itself is a pretty amazing part of the story.
And it really speaks to who Dick Biondi was.
Yes.
You are so right. You know, that Dick Biondi was so unique. He was one of a kind. I mean, he did whatever he felt was right, you know, he did it for the right reasons. But I'll tell you, I had a screening. I did quite a few screenings of this movie as it was in progress around the Chicago area. One of them was up at the Acorn Theater in Three Oaks, Michigan. Now, John Landecker lives up that way.
Right.
You know, he lives in Michigan City. Mm-hmm. So he and his wife, Nika, came to that screening. And after the screening, John came on stage and he said, you know, I got to say, Bob Surratt and I have been talking to Biondi for years about telling his story, you know, write a book, do something. And he always turned us down. He said, well, how did you get to do this? And I said, well, I truly believe it's because I told Dick I want to do it from the viewpoint of the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick loved his fans more than anything. And so I really think that's why he said yes to me.
Boy,
this is my first film.
Yeah.
And I will never forget the night that we had Dick in the studio with us. This was after he was in between gigs. And this is after all of the years of him being in radio at various radio stations and introducing the Beatles and everything else. So he kind of knew the drill, but he comes in to talk with us. He was wearing a suit
and
a tie. And he brought notes. And we could see his hands were shaking. He was nervous because he wanted to do a good job. That's who Dick Biondi was.
Yes, indeed. And I remember hearing that show. And anybody that's listening out there, you should look that show up. It's awesome.
It really
is.
One
of the best interviews I've ever heard of Dick Biondi.
And the fun thing was, and this is my memory of it, because we had just started taking in texts from people. So he was sitting next to me across from Steve, and he could see the kind of feedback that was coming in from his fans, and that relaxed him. That, but it also energized him. So we went on for hours because, again, it was all about the fans in his book. He just wanted to make his fans happy. And you have the perfect name for your movie, The Voice That Rocked America, The Dick Biondi Story.
This is going to be the premiere of the finished version of the movie.
Right. Let's give him the nitty gritty, Pam. Okay. What time does everything start and where are we going to be?
We are going to be at the historic Des Plaines Theater in Des Plaines, Illinois. And doors will open at 3:30 p.m. And the red carpet is being rolled out. We've got celebrity people coming, such as Jim Peterick from The Ides of March, Ray Graffia Jr. from the New Colony Six, Jim Pilcher from the Crying Shames. We have all kinds of radio people coming, Scott Childers, Scott McKay. All these people are in my film, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the Buckinghams, Carl Giammarisi, couldn't make it because he's out on a tour. He's doing a cruise, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I've got a surprise video from Tony Orlando.
Oh, fine.
He couldn't make it.
Cool.
But he's going to, So. We've got all kinds of things planned, and as I say, the doors open at 3:30. So if you really like that kind of fun stuff, we've got a Rolls Royce that's going to deliver celebrities to the red carpet.
Good move. You know what? We should give a shout out to Ron Onesti, too, because God bless him. He has been so supportive of this project, and this is happening at one of his theaters, and it's a perfect location for it.
And Ron, of course, as you say, he has been so absolutely incredibly supportive of this project for many years.
Mm-hmm.
He's part of the whole thing. He's in the film. He helped me raise money over the years. He gave me access backstage to all these artists, people like Paul Schaefer, who, by the way, has offered to host a screening in New York City.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's so great.
Yes.
And again, for anybody from a younger demographic who doesn't understand, imagine the days before rock and roll was all over the radio. Rock and roll was barely on the radio. All of a sudden, you have this 24-hour radio station playing rock and roll, and Dick Biondi was the first guy to play the Beatles. Mm-hmm. He introduced the Beatles. He has so many firsts, literally a legendary performer. He wrote the book that Landecker, Surratt, Johnny, me, and a lot of other people try to follow.
Absolutely. Yes. A listener wants to know if Dick's wife will be attending the premiere on Sunday.
Oh, my. You put me on the spot.
Oh, that's okay. You don't have to answer.
Yeah. I shouldn't.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Because it's up to her. She has been very supportive of the project. She loved the idea. And a listener wants to know, you mentioned a bunch of celebrities. Will Ronnie Rice be there? Do we know if Ronnie's going to be attending?
Unfortunately, Ronnie will not be there. He came to my last one, and he said he's waiting until it comes on streaming, which, by the way, it is streaming right now. It's on all the major platforms.
Mm-hmm.
It's streaming on Amazon Prime, Apple iTunes, the Dish Network, Google Play, YouTube Movies.
Okay, I have a theory. Here's my theory. The universe knew that you needed to wait for this project to be completed so it could get out there through streaming. So just think about 12 years ago, we didn't have this technology. So this is wonderful for people who cannot be there on Sunday. They'll have an opportunity to actually see this via streaming. That's really cool.
That's right.
And earlier we were talking about the interview that we were fortunate to do with Dick, and we have permission from WGN management. If you ever choose to do a second director's cut of the movie or something, you will have the availability of that interview, too.
Because we love Dick.
Oh, that's nice.
We love him. We're so happy that this is happening for you because, as I said at the outset, it's nothing like having a dream and then just working tirelessly to make it happen, and you did that. So congratulations, Pamela.
Thank you.
You done good. You really did. And thank you for joining us tonight. Kick up your
thank
heels.
You so much, guys.
Thank you, Pamela.
We are now segueing to talk about all things related to cyberspace and technology with the man who is the Director of Educational Technology at Keck School of Medicine of USC. And more important than that, the man we're going to be hanging out with 1 week from tonight.
Woohoo!
Along with Joseph and Christine at the Grand Canyon,
yes.
Patrick Crispin.
Hey, Patrick.
Patrick.
Woohoo! How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you getting excited about our big trip?
I'm excited, but I'm also a little nervous because, as you know, we're going to be driving to the Grand Canyon. So
yeah.
We decided to pick the time when the gas prices are
yeah.
the highest they've been since yep. 1973.
Yep.
But that's stupid. That's really stupid.
But
remember, I have a doctorate, and I need doctorate-level stupid.
Yeah.
So we're actually going to be renting
yeah.
a Chevy Suburban,
yes.
which is going to get the worst gas mileage known to man. Yeah.
Wait, you'll be starting.
And, Patrick, to make it even better, we're going to be going up mountains.
Up hills. And you'll be starting out from California in the Suburban where, what is it, $14 a gallon?
I don't even want to know.
I know.
I think $6
yeah.
I think is where we are right now. It's
yeah.
like, oh, Lord, I
know.
Don't know. But
and if we're lucky, if we're
yeah.
lucky, it'll snow while we're there, too.
I think so.
Because
well, you know, Joseph wants that, and
I
his
know.
Birthday is next week,
yep.
so I think we have to deliver some snow for him.
Well, with the combination of his birthday is next week and our anniversary is next week, so
yeah.
we're just...
We're going to be Grand Canyoning. We're
but,
road
but,
trip.
But we've been paying attention to weather in the Grand Canyon, and it has been crazy hot, but within the past couple of days, it looks like it's going to get back to what is normal for
right.
the Grand Canyon for this time of year.
Which is like high of 50 or something like that.
Yeah.
And lows in the 20s overnight.
Yeah, I know.
When the bears come out to play. Because
exactly
where we're staying, we were told, at least you're up high so you don't have to worry about the wildlife.
And I'm like, what? Because we've rented an apartment. It's on the second floor.
Yes.
And they literally said, yeah, you'd be glad to be up on the second floor because you can sit out there at night and watch the animals on the ground or on the first floor.
Eating
fun.
The people on the first floor. Okay, we've got a lot to talk about. Should we start with the iPhone? Because you, as an iPhone user, you are up to date, but a lot of people aren't. I was talking to someone in Florida that said, I think I need to get rid of my, is there an iPhone 8? Was there an 8?
There was an iPhone 8.
Yeah,
that was years ago.
That's what she was
yes.
using.
And also, I'm going to go back, way back in the day with our website Wednesday night, where the mantra was, yeah, you better update that Windows thing, but don't worry about updating anything on Macs or on anything
yeah.
at Apple
yeah,
Macs.
Yeah, that's not the case
yeah.
anymore.
Right. So what's the story with the iPhones?
This is sort of this. We're going to lead with This Week in Hacks. If you have an iPhone, listen carefully. If you've been postponing updating your iPhone's operating system or even your iPad's operating system, especially if you're still running iOS 13 or 14, you need to stop and update iOS now, like today, like this very minute.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Settings, go to General, Software Update, download and install every single update and do it now. Why? I'm going to take a whole bunch of stories that are floating around. I'm going to put it all together into one big story. So I might be overstating things a little, but not really.
Mm-hmm.
Hackers have discovered several exploits in older versions of iOS, and there are nearly two dozen different exploits across different exploit groups, if you want to put them all together. And these exploits are now being passed around from Russian espionage groups to Chinese cyber criminals, and a small subset of them are even being posted to GitHub for everyone to see. So all of the bad guys know about all of these exploits.
Mm.
And the way these exploits are working is the hackers are going to break into some website out there, maybe a WordPress site, it could be whatever. And they wait for you to go with an unprotected iPhone to that site or an unprotected iPad. And once you do, the site kind of figures out, oh, this person's got an iPhone and I know what version of iPhone he has. And ooh, I know the best attack to get into your device. And what happens is once your phone visits the site, that's all you have to do is visit the site. The hacker's exploit toolkit targets your cryptocurrency wallet, your financial data. It's basically exfiltrating your wallet from your iPhone to the bad guys. It can decode QR codes that are on your phone. It can look in the text messages and look for backup phrases or bank accounts or passwords. Wow. It looks into Apple Notes. There are about 42,000 devices that have already been compromised just for the financial exploits. Again, I took a whole bunch of exploits, put them all together here to make it. So good news is, if you have an iPhone, an iPad, if you are running an updated version of iOS 15 through 26, remember we have 15, 16, 17, 18, and then 26. Mm-hmm. If you're running the latest version, in other words, if you've downloaded the updates, you're perfectly fine. You don't have to worry about it. Apple has released new iOS 15 and 16 updates back on the 11th. To take care of almost all of these, I think all of the security issues. And if you're running iOS 13 or 14, it'll talk you through the process of updating iOS 15, and then you'll be protected. Mm-hmm. So if you have an iPhone, everybody who has an iPhone, just to be careful, go to Settings, General, Software Update, update and patch your iOS from time to time, and that time is now. And you want to update to whatever the latest version is for your device. And I've got a link in the show notes where you can find out more from the support article, but this is a big issue, and everybody is starting to realize, oh, this is getting out there, and if you have an iPhone, it is time to update the operating system.
And if you glazed over at some of this, don't worry about copying it down. All of this will be in Patrick's technology show notes, which will be on our blog. I want to just for a second pause and talk about something that to me was a little unusual. I always check for updates for everything and browser updates. And this week, for the first time, when I updated Firefox, there was a Firefox terms of use thing that you had to click, okay, I accept this, blah, 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 blah. I'm not concerned about it, but I'm curious why now. And literally, this is the first time I've had this happen.
It's more of legal housekeeping. Basically, Mozilla earlier, it's kind of a broad industry standard, and all the industry players are kind of saying, hey, here's how we're using your data. Let's be a little more explicit so that you know straight ahead what we're going to do with your data handling and how we're dealing with AI. So what's changed in that terms of service, and it's not a major thing, it's not a fundamental shift in how private the browser is. Mm-hmm. It's basically Firefox saying, hey, here's how we're going to be able to do search suggestions, and here's what we're going to do with security, and how we're going to try to use your data if you use Firefox to improve our platform and get it better. So that sounds scary, but it's really just reiterating that Firefox is still positioned as a privacy-centric browser relative to Chrome and Safari. So it's not Firefox saying, we're going to sell your data. They're not. It's not a material change. It's just basically Firefox saying, hey, legal housekeeping, we want to be transparent and show you how we're going to try to get better.
And I read all of these terms of service, and I give Firefox credit. A, it was really easy to understand, and ain't nothing I'm concerned about. I was just curious about why did they decide to do this now. But if you haven't updated Firefox, update everything. Always update everything.
Always update. Always update.
In fact, one of the things that I am so in the habit of doing, particularly if I'm using a laptop, anytime I open the laptop, the first thing I do is check to see if there are any antivirus updates and if there is a new operating system update. I mean, it's literally the first thing I do every time I open up a laptop.
You were trained.
I do it about once a week.
Steve was trained well because I said, again, you're doing, yes, but that's good. It's better.
Because the world is crazy right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it is crazy.
Okay. I think the last time you were on with us, and it seems like it was a lifetime ago, we talked about the Anthropic company?
Anthropic.
Anthropic, okay. And now they're back in the news because
So
a judge has made a decision that's – how does it affect them?
Yeah, basically, we mentioned that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth had warned Anthropic that unless it allowed unrestricted use of Anthropic Claude, actually Claude Gov, the Department of Defense, Department of War, could remove it from the defense supply chain and even invoke the Defense Production Act, which it did. Mm-hmm. And Anthropic said, look, we're just saying you can't use this for mass surveillance of Americans. You can't use it to control fully autonomous lethal weapons. You have to have a human in the loop, and you can't tell us no. And they sued and said, hey, you know, this is a First Amendment, and we're going to kind of say stop. Federal judges actually agreed and said there's a preliminary injunction and the lawsuit against the Trump administration kind of has to stop. So we're going to see what happens. Yeah. It's still early stages. We talked about it last time I was on, mm-hmm. and it's back in the news. We kind of knew it was going to happen.
Hmm. So it looks like someone's actually listening to this company, which was, as I understand from our previous conversation, is a pretty well-respected company.
Well, without getting into the politics of all of it, but we kind of have to, I have to ask, was this a Democrat or Republican judge who issued this order?
Yeah, do we know that?
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't check on that.
Okay, so where do we go from that?
A couple other things, just quick updates for stories that we talked about. Yeah. We talked a while back about OpenAI and how they had this Sora video creation tool and that Disney had actually licensed about 200 of their characters with them.
Oh, yeah.
Sora, just a couple days ago, said, yeah, about that. We're going to kill Sora like soon now, and it's going to go away, and OpenAI is now focused solely back on trying to make money instead of making videos. So just be aware, if you were using Sora, you weren't, nobody was, but if you were using Sora, OpenAI is killing it. I don't blame them. It was really, really, really expensive. I mean, if you do the math in your head, and this is overstating things, but creating an AI image, you know, takes a lot of compute. If I'm going to create a 20-second video, I'm creating 24 frames per second, 24 images per second times 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. That's 480 pictures.
Wow.
Now, again, it's not that. I'm overstating.
Right.
It's not. There are ways to do that. But it's like, or we could not do that and not have to spend the money on the computers for that. So that's why they're doing it. Part of this is they're looking to make money, talking about making money. I also want to point out, we've been talking over and over again that if you've been waiting to get anything with a chip in it, if it's going to get more expensive this year, mm-hmm. because AI data centers are eating up all the chips. Mm. If you're waiting for your tax refund to get a PlayStation 5, don't wait. Sony on Thursday is increasing their prices. PS5, the one with the disc drive, you put a disc in it. Increasing from $550 to $650. PS5 Digital, the one that doesn't have a disc drive, is going from $500 to $600. And this is the one that's shocking. The PS5 Pro, the top line, it's going from $750, which was $650 back in November, $750 to $900. So you have until Thursday to do this. If you're getting a PlayStation 5, do it quickly or you're going to be spending a lot more money and you're going to see a lot more things get more expensive.
Tell your kid to get a paper route so he can pay
exactly.
For it. You mentioned data centers, and there was a story in the Panhandle of Florida, a little town where it's basically a farming community, and a family has turned down $26 million to sell their farm for a data center to be built. $26 million.
There's a lot of money flowing into AI and into data centers right now. And it's a lot of stupid money. And it's like, okay, go for it. And I'm glad that the farmers said no.
No.
But the reality is they're going to find some other farmer a couple farms over and sell their property.
And what was the other story that we saw while we were in Florida? It had to do, I want to say, with farmers, but they were right next to a data center and they were complaining about the smells
sound.
And the sounds.
Sound, yeah. There are people
it's
that
very, very, very loud.
And it's 24/7. And they said, yeah, no one
data
tells
centers
us.
Don't shut down.
Yeah.
It's because you've got to be cooling the everything. So imagine industrial air conditioners running 24/7.
Right, right.
And industrial pumps running 24/7. And you're living next to that. It's going to get loud.
Some of the people.
And that's what it costs for AI.
Yeah. Some of the people who were making the news were saying, well, we were lied to. We were told it was like white noise. It would be comforting for you. And then, of course, there are those people that say, I feel like I'm going through changes, physical changes from these sounds. It's probably.
And that's understandable.
It's probably anxiety over what they're experiencing. And they realize that it's not going to change. And some people were saying, I can't sell my house now. Nobody's going to want to buy my house because I'm living near this 24/7 noise. Wow. But I have to commend that farmer. And you're right. They'll go down the road and find another farmer that will sell for, you know, $20 million. $26 million is a lot of money, especially in a world where farming is so difficult these days.
Very much so.
Hats off to you guys for saying, nope. We're not going to be the bad guys.
I give farmers credit for putting their money where their mouths are.
Yeah,
good
yeah.
Good for them.
They said they wanted to stay in the community, and they were afraid that they would run out of the community. So, nope,
I can believe that. Yeah.
Okay. A listener texts, his name is George, and he says, a while back, Patrick talked about changes coming to routers, and they would have to be made in America. And that's a topic that we do want to cover tonight. Right, Patrick?
Absolutely. This is a big one that we talked about. And the way I kind of introduced it in the show notes was, have you noticed, and I have, I go back and listen to all the recordings. Have you noticed that a lot of my segments begin with me saying something like, hey, do you remember how we talked about blah, 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 blah? I say that a lot, and I recognize that. So, hey, do you remember how late last year we talked about the FCC banning certain foreign-made drones and critical components? And I kind of said that, you know, even if you didn't own a drone, you should pay attention to the story because I think this is going to be the tip of the iceberg. It was the tip of the iceberg.
You remember how?
I do that a lot, don't I?
No. But I'm so pleased. George was a classic example of someone who listens to what you're saying, and he says, I remember when Patrick talked about getting a router because the time is going to come when we can only get them if they're made in America. And that takes us to the latest, right, Patrick?
Yeah. On Monday, the FCC banned the import of new foreign-made consumer routers. And this includes all of the major players in the market. So that's Netgear, TP-Link, Asus, Amazon's Aero, Google's Nest. It just goes on and on. Even Ubiquiti. How does this affect you and me? It doesn't. Listen to what I'm saying. This doesn't impact you because the FCC is banning the import of new foreign-made consumer routers. It does not affect anything that you and I already have. So if you already have a router at home right now in your home, nothing changes. By the way, what the heck is a router? Mm-hmm. A router is just the device that you have in your home or in your office that connects all your stuff to the internet. It takes the internet connection coming into your home, usually from your cable company or your fiber provider, and shares with all your devices either through a wired connection or wirelessly, which is what we call Wi-Fi. So everything in your house that connects to the internet depends on the router. And the government is actually concerned that, hey, everybody has routers, and all these routers are being made overseas, and that could be a cybersecurity risk that could be leveraged to hurt America. In fact, there are some China-based hacking groups, Volt Typhoon, Flax Typhoon, Salt Typhoon, that have actually been using botnets on foreign-made routers in America to conduct attacks on the American infrastructure. So, yes, the FCC is banning new routers from being imported, but it doesn't impact existing models already approved. So in other words, Ubiquiti DreamRouter 7, that's what you and I have, and it's a really good one. You can still buy that forever because it's been approved. It's not the new model. If there's a DreamRouter 8, not going to be sold until the government has a chance to sign off on it. So if there's an existing router that's sitting in the shelves anywhere in the country, you're certainly welcome to buy it. It's perfectly fine. What it does do is it blocks manufacturers from introducing new models if they're a foreign-made company, unless the company goes through and has the FCC approve it under some new security rules. So this really is just about future products, not what's in your house. And what I think is going to happen is American-branded companies are going to qualify for the exemptions and the foreign ones might not. So the market landscape could shift. But this is a big shift in the way the government is handling things. So they're now going and treating everyday connected devices, not just infrastructure, as potential national security concerns. And your router is the cornerstone of your digital life. If it's compromised, that's a bad thing. So this sounds technical, but this is part of a bigger policy direction. Who builds the technology that we rely on, and who do we trust to connect us?
Let me pause on something you just said. American branded companies. So if an American branded company is going to have a foreign entity manufacture a new router, then that would be under this new FCC mandate and have to be approved?
It could. And I think the only router manufacturer that's actually an American company I know of is Ubiquiti. Because I think Amazon, no, maybe the Amazon Eero as well. But American branded companies are going to probably get easier approval. I've read the FCC, everything in the FCC documents about this. If you read between the lines, they're going after a company called TP-Link. They've never liked TP-Link.
Yep.
And I think they're going after TP-Link. And they're just using this as a cover. I think if you got a Netgear, you're not going to have a problem with it. New Netgears are going to be easily approved. I think they're going after TP-Link, and this is going to be the justification to get rid of to go after TP-Link. If you have TP-Link in your home, perfectly fine. Keep using it. Just there might not be a new model that you're going to be able to buy in the future.
So a listener thanks you for talking about what a router is, and that prompted this question. What's the difference between a router and a gateway?
And the answer is this is one of those questions that you get on the A+ test, and I always got this one wrong.
I'm sorry.
Is that a gateway is something that connects you from one network to another network. So a router and a gateway are sometimes very much the same, but a router is also used to connect one device to another device within a home network. That's how you can connect to the printer and maybe from one computer to another,
right?
Because it's going, taking the communication and passing it around internally in a network. So you might actually have this internal network in your house that's connected through the router. The gateway is what connects you from that network to the rest of the world.
And there's this little devil on my shoulder that started yelling, "Remember when Patrick got that wrong on the test?"
I did not get that wrong on the A+ test. That was like 25 years ago, by the way.
Right. But that's a good question, because honestly, when I saw the question, I thought, wow, I think of Gateway as being a company. I don't think.
With the cows.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. With the great boxes that your product came in. All right. We talked at the outset about iPhones. Let's talk a little bit about Android stuff and Windows 11, specifically some changes with Windows 11, right?
Yeah, and this is kind of major, isn't it?
This is a big one. If you've been using Windows 11 for a long time and you found it, well, insert pejorative adjective here. Good news, Microsoft is actually later on this year going to roll out some major improvements. So it's not just major changes. They're actually going to be fixing things this time. So the things you're going to notice, One is Microsoft has promised that in a future version of Windows 11 coming out later this year, they're going to reduce the type of ads that appear in the recommended feed in the start menu. And they're even going to let you disable the ads within the start menu entirely.
Yay.
Why there are ads in the start menu, I don't know, but you'll be able to get rid of those. Here's the other one that a lot of people have been asking for. You will be able, in a future version of Windows 11 later this year, to take your taskbar and move it someplace else on your screen. Right cool. now, the taskbar is stuck down the bottom.
Right.
But I, you know, a lot of people like putting it over on the left or putting it up at the top. And you could in older versions of Windows. They're going to bring that back. The other thing you're going to see is Copilot. They try to put Copilot, which is their AI tool, everywhere. they're going to start taking that out. Not everywhere, but the number of places where Copilot appears in the operating system is going to kind of – they're going to remove it from Notepad and Photos and the snipping tool and widgets. A couple other things, and these are things that you probably won't notice, but you will now have more control over Windows updates, including pausing updates. And when you first boot up a computer, you can sit there and say, no, I don't want to run Windows Update. Just take me to the desktop. Mm-hmm. Damn it.
Yes.
Right.
Because it takes 45 minutes to get to the desktop the first time you set up. You can now just say, there will be a damn it button. It won't be. There should be. The other thing is they're going to decrease the number of times you have to restart your computer when you're doing updates. File Explorer and Windows Search are going to be a little faster. UI Flickr is going to be fixed in a couple places. Memory management. And they're going to spend a lot more time on the vendor-supplied drivers and make sure they're stable. So these updates are going to be rolling out the rest of the year. Microsoft has had a rough patch with Windows 11, so I'm kind of glad they're listening.
Yeah.
And this is coming.
So one of the things this is doing is making me feel very good about having extended our Windows 10 for the next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're finally catching up to Windows 10.
Damn it.
What's this about restrictions coming to Android, Patrick?
Yeah, by default, Android requires you to download any app you want to put on your Android device from the Google Play Store. It's kind of similar to the way the iPhone makes you go to the Apple App Store. There's a secret, well, not so secret, backdoor way that you can install apps on an Android device called sideloading. Basically, you download your app directly from the website or some other source and install it manually, and you bypass the Google Play Store entirely. Google went and looked and they said, you know, we discovered that people who do that, there's like 50 times more malware from sideloaded sources than apps on the Google Play Store. So Google's actually going to put in a new security layer later this year. Starting this fall, rolling out throughout 2027, Android apps must be registered to a verified developer in order to be installed on any certified Android device. So if you try to sideload from the developer has to be a certified developer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like showing ID before you can sell something. The app's author has to be accountable. If you download apps from the Google Play Store, which most everybody does, you're not going to notice any change. It's only if you try to sideload. But if you're a developer, like a beta tester or a tech enthusiast and likes going to websites and downloading Android apps outside of the Play Store, mm-hmm. you're going to experience a little more friction. And to keep you from accidentally installing malicious apps, you're going to have to enter developer mode on Android and then manually confirm that you're not being coerced into downloading an app. That's a true thing. They're going to make you say, no one's making me do this. I'm doing this deliberately. And they're even going to make you wait 24 hours after you say that. And they'll ask you again, okay, you sure about this? Mm. If you're a typical WGN listener, has an Android phone, this doesn't impact you at all. You're just going to keep using the Play Store. If you sideload, you're going to see a little friction. Just be prepared.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a fine thing.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
You know, it takes me back to Website Wednesday night when we were saying, gosh, we feel like there should be some more concern about the possibility of bad things happening. And here we are all these years later, and people are really concerned about bad things happening. So we're going to do something about it. Oh, golly. There was a huge story, a couple of examples of a huge story about children and the internet. Yep. And let's touch on both of those because they're this. Both of these stories
this is
are
big.
Yeah, very big.
This is really big. I'm going to kind of warn you right now. This is going to be a trigger warning, and this may make you uncomfortable. I want to apologize, but we do need to just bring this out in the open because this is important. I'm the father of a soon-to-be 10-year-old boy, and this topic really means something to me because I think we all recognize, everybody who has a brain recognizes that any place that attracts a large number of children also attracts predators. Mm-hmm. It just does. The YMCA, Boy Scouts, Little League, church youth groups, we've all heard stories about places where there are child predators. And no place is safe unless the grown-ups, you and me, the people who are in charge, put in place policies, practices, and procedures specifically designed to catch and destroy the predators. Those are in place at the YMCA and the Boy Scouts and Little League and church youth groups. Where it's not so safe is online. One place that kids gather in large numbers is online, especially social media. And it's simply just not safe for kids. In 2023, the UK newspaper Guardian posted the results of a two-year investigation suggesting that Meta, makers of Facebook and Instagram, was actually struggling to prevent criminals from using its Facebook and Instagram platforms to buy and sell children for sex. Not pictures of children, buying and selling children for sex. I told you this was an uncomfortable topic. Yes. Following that, New Mexico's attorney general created a fake social media profile for a 13-year-old girl. Within minutes, that account was simply inundated with images and targeted solicitations from child abusers. And the New Mexico Attorney General said, oh, the hell with that. Nope. And they filed a civil suit against Meta, arguing that the company failed to safeguard kids who use Facebook and Instagram from child predators, despite years of internal warnings and public scrutiny. This is a direct quote from the press release from the New Mexico, and it's the evidence presented in the trial, which included internal Meta documents and testimony from former Meta employees, law enforcement officials, and New Mexico educators, established that Meta's design features enabled pedophiles and predators to engage in child sexual exploitation on Meta's platforms. Evidence from those witnesses and other industry experts also demonstrated that Meta intentionally designs its platforms to addict young people and, contrary to Meta's public comments, expose them to dangerous content related to eating disorders and self-harm. Put a pin in that because we're going to come back into the next story on this one. Midway through the trial, Meta actually announced it's going to stop supporting end-to-end encryption messaging on Instagram so that they could actually see what people are saying on the system. Mm-hmm. Again, if the idea is I want to make sure that if a child predator is going to a kid, that it's not encrypted, that no one can see it. We need somebody to be able to see it. So on Tuesday, jury agreed with New Mexico, fining Meta $375 million in penalties for violating state consumer protections and misleading parents about the safety of its apps. It's about $5,000 for each of about 37,000 violations, and Meta is appealing. New Mexico is also going to be doing a bench trial starting on the 4th of May, where they're going to argue that Meta's a public nuisance, and they're going to try to seek a whole bunch of money to pay for the damages that they've caused. This leads to another story. Parallel, it's not the same story, but an LA jury just the next day later found that Instagram and YouTube are liable for designing platforms to addict young users. 20-year-old California woman sued Meta and Alphabet. She also sued Snap and TikTok, and they settled before trial. And the California woman was arguing that their platforms, Instagram and YouTube, contributed to her mental health problems when she was younger. Her lawyers argued that the platforms were designed like casinos.
Right.
They're basically, you scroll and you get, you know, a dopamine hit. Mm-hmm. And the plaintiff's lawyers were calling it addiction by design. And they also showed internal meta research, which was presented at the trial, that suggested that some users reported lower depression and anxiety after reducing or stopping using Meta, like Facebook and Instagram. They felt better about themselves. Hmm. Company argues that the plaintiff's life was already complicated and had some family issues and mental health struggles, and that should lead, you know, they shouldn't be responsible for that. Los Angeles jury sided with the plaintiff, and they found Instagram and YouTube liable for negligent design and failure to warn about risks to minors. And the jury didn't need to find that social media caused all of the plaintiff's mental health. It's just that it was a substantial factor in right. making them worse. So Meta was forced to pay $4.2 million, Google $1.8 million. Both of them are appealing. This is going to take years, but this is the two big lawsuits that are juries holding social media companies liable for product design impacting minors. And it will open the door to similar cases.
It was actually very good that both stories broke within 24 hours of each other, because then it really made you stop and go, oh, somebody really cares about what's happening and how this is affecting kids.
And it's going to be fascinating to follow this. And you can... I don't disagree with any of the jury's findings, but it does present an interesting point for discussion. On one hand, you have companies who want to have people spend lots of time on Facebook and YouTube right. and everything else. You also have people who have addictive personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you have
kids. And it doesn't take much.
And the whole thing of child predators, that's a whole nother...
It scares the hell out of me.
Yeah.
It scares the hell out of me. I think the reality is, if I were to bet, I think we're going to start seeing social media where it's either they're going to voluntarily or be forced to prohibit kids from anybody under 16 from using social media at all.
I think that's happening in other countries already.
Yeah. Wasn't there a rule? Was it Germany?
I think Australia is doing
Australia,
it as well.
Yeah.
Okay, yes,
yeah.
You're right.
Saying, you know what, we're just not going to mess with this anymore.
It's just not worth the risk.
Yeah, exactly.
And again, yeah, unless you have some sort of mechanism, and I apologize if this made anybody uncomfortable, but these are two stories that you need to know about.
Yeah, and it's reality.
Patrick, can we go back, and I know we've only got a couple minutes. Can you, if you remember off the top of your head, you remember when we talked with Patrick about the safeguards that he's putting in place when he allowed Joseph to get a cell phone.
Yep. Yeah, I think one of the nice things about the Apple iPhone is that you can have parental controls. And I've set the parental controls, which basically he has YouTube Kids. He doesn't, I don't believe he has regular YouTube on it. I only allow him to receive telephone calls and text messages from the people that we know, and we control who he knows in the phone. We control all the app purchases. We are looking at all the app purchases, so we are very, very careful in seeing what Joseph has. He does not have a Facebook account. He does not have an Instagram account. He does not have a TikTok account. We just don't let that happen. Mm-hmm. And we're just kind of, again, we don't know what's going to happen. We just have to be as careful as possible.
Absolutely. Wow. We had a couple questions that came in for the listeners who had questions. Patrick was kind enough to answer those off the air, so I will get those answers to you, because there are questions about people saying, I don't know if this is legit. And so Patrick has answered those questions for you. So,
and again, all of Patrick's show notes will wind up on our blog probably by Sunday afternoon.
Right, right. And again, if you're an iPhone user, he started out the show saying, update, update, you better do it. And that's your pad and your iPhone, right, Patrick?
That's right. Yep.
Okay, excellent.
Well,
thank
one
you.
One week from right now, we're going to be hanging out at the Grand Canyon with Joseph and his posse.
Could we play penny poker so we can raise money for the gas?
I'm going to be in the corner walking back and forth looking at the gas prices that we're going to in this It's like, Patrick, can I sell plasma or something?
We only live once, so thank you. Oh, we'll see you soon. Thanks, Patrick.
Thank you.
Thanks, bye-bye. Patrick. Tom Appel, the publisher of Consumer Guide, is nice enough to check in with us for a short drive-by because we talked last week about an awful story involving a Hyundai stop sale over order, rather, that had to do with a power seat problem. And we said we were going to check back in with Tom this week and see if there was any more information. So, hi, Tom. What do you know?
Yeah, what has happened since then is that another vehicle has been added to this particular recall. The very similar, mechanically similar, Kia Telluride, which is brand new for 2027, has begun distribution. There's some in shipping. About 568 of them are at dealers, and there's a stop sale on those cars. So it's the exact same problem. And to clarify a little bit, when we talked about this before, we talked about a seat back. There's actually two elements here. It's the seat back for the third row seats that fold forward, and then the second row seats, which can fold, tilt, and then slide forward. Mm-hmm. Both of those things are suspect, and the software for those is what's going to be updated.
I remember last week we were saying, well, how could this happen? But now that we know that 6 months before a child was killed by a seat, a mom had reported that she had a terrifying experience, right? And she actually went to the dealership and asked them to buy her car back because she was so frightened by what happened with her child that almost got crushed by the seat.
And this was a mom in California, right?
Is that right, Tom? That,
I believe that's correct, yes. And the actual accident took place in Akron, Ohio. The situation here is interesting because it's obviously not happening all the time, or we'd hear more about it from the owners of these vehicles. But what had happened, unfortunately, to the little girl was that the third row seat folded down on her. Mm-hmm. That's a power folding seat. It's a super handy option, but unfortunately, in this case, we forget how deadly this stuff can be because we're so used to these things working.
Well, the mom that I mentioned that said 6 months before this child died that she was terrified. She had to undo her seatbelt, jump out, get to the back seat to rescue her child that was slowly being, as she was screaming, being squished. Mm-hmm. And you just try to imagine that happening and how terrifying. And again, she asked them to buy back her car. She contacted Hyundai and said this is what happened. And apparently it fell on deaf ears, or maybe they were looking into it and then decided, oh, yeah I guess we better do something.
Speaking of falling on deaf ears and looking into it, a little sidestep. From your knowledge of the automotive industry, of manufacturers, what happens when a consumer files a complaint like this? How does that make its way to the manufacturer, or does it always? Is it sometimes a dealership who just throws it in the trash can or whatever? Or what is the normal procedure for a manufacturer finding out about these kind of complaints, let alone dealing with them?
You can obviously always go back to your dealer. And if you're talking to the service department, they should register the complaint. Mm-hmm. But to make sure that you get heard, especially in a case where it's a safety issue, and what you have to say may actually help or benefit other motorists, it's good to go to NHTSA directly and file the same complaint. Oh. That's the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, NHTSA.gov. And they will take that seriously and register that. Because in this particular case, we do know that there have been five incidents now, one of them being the fatal incident, unfortunately. And in the case of a safety issue where there's been a death, NHTSA will take it very, very seriously and begin an investigation almost immediately.
So if you have a serious complaint, along with telling the dealership, do something with NHTSA and make sure that you've covered all the bases.
You do, yeah. And NHTSA will get back to you and let you know that they've got your complaint. So you want to make sure that you hear back from them.
So, again, getting us up to date from last week, now we're talking about the Kia, the 2027 Kia Telluride.
Yes.
And this is the hybrid SUV.
That is actually not entirely correct. It's that the only ones they've delivered so far are hybrids.
Oh, I see.
And it's just the two top trim levels, which in the case of the Kia is the SX Prestige and the SX Prestige X line. Mm-hmm. And I think those are the only trim levels that have been delivered so far.
Oh, so that's probably a few hundred of those vehicles. So,
yeah, it's like 500, yep.
So the short story is that Hyundai/Kia have said, we're not selling these until this is fixed.
Yes.
And in Hyundai's case, for people who are not familiar with the original story, that's the Palisade SUV. And that's like 60, I recall you saying something like 60,000 units were being recalled. And
that one is about 60,000 units, or 69,000, 8,000 of which are in Canada.
Okay.
And again, which model years are we talking about?
So in the case of the Hyundai, it's the 2026, and that's the year that that vehicle was redesigned. The Telluride, very similar mechanically. Kia and Hyundai have the same parent company. That's a 2027 model, and that's the year for which the Kia is being redesigned.
Okay, so the point is, if you have an older model year version of these vehicles, they're not involved.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Well, we won't be visiting with you next week since we'll be at the Grand Canyon. What are you driving this week?
I'm really interested in this car. I'm glad you asked, and I'm glad we have time. I'm driving the 2026 Toyota Land Cruiser.
Ooh.
And this vehicle has been completely redesigned for 2026. People may remember that the old Land Cruiser was actually mechanically very similar to the Lexus LX 570. And it was a full-blown, big, luxury car. It will cost about $100,000. They've repositioned the vehicle. The vehicle I'm driving is about $65,000. No V8, now has a turbo 4. I'm really enjoying this vehicle. It's kind of peppy. It's kind of fun. I wish there was a lot of snow because I'd love to do something with it.
Is it real nice and roomy inside?
It is roomy. It is not nice inside. It's fine. It's fine, but there's a lot of hard plastic. It's very much not a luxury vehicle anymore.
Hmm.
That surprises me.
Yeah, they took it down market.
Is that because the price has come down?
I think so. They made the vehicle more accessible. What's interesting about the Toyota lineup now is that they have the 4Runner, which has always been there, and that's been their sort of off-road midsize crossover. Or I should say SUV because it's body on frame. It's a heavy-duty vehicle. And then the Land Cruiser was way, way, way upmarket, but now it's just a little bit more upmarket.
Hmm.
The nice thing about the Land Cruiser, it does come only as a hybrid, and I'm getting like 23 miles per gallon, which is really good for a vehicle like this.
For a big vehicle, sure.
Yeah, because that's a big honk. I remember, was it when we were in California and we had the 4Runner, and we loved it.
Yes, because in California, gas was an issue even then, but you just felt like you were looking down on everybody else, like you felt safer.
And you are a little bit, if there's a big earthquake or the end of the world comes, you want to be in a 4Runner.
Okay. Words to the wise, right?
If you're really a pessimist, you want to be in a 4Runner.
Well, thank you for that update, Tom. We appreciate it. So that's big news. And people can find out more by following you. And where can they do that?
Yeah, we'll be talking about this on our next podcast, which goes live Tuesday morning. So check us out at consumerguide.com. And the Car Stuff podcast is available everywhere really early Tuesday morning.
That would be the award-winning
Car
Stuff podcast. Thank you, Tom. Have a good week.
Thanks. Yeah, safe travels.
Thanks.
It is time for some Illini sports between the sheets. Game. What a game.
Well, let me start by saying, my radio parents, I missed you.
Back at you.
Yes.
And let me also say, and this might actually disappoint some Illini fans, because although I am glad that a local team is contending for a championship, I actually had the Illini losing in the second round to North Carolina of all teams. So not only did I clearly underestimate the Illini, I clearly overestimated North Carolina, because North Carolina gets bounced in the first round. They fire their coach, and now North Carolina is trying to get Billy Donovan to leave the Bulls to go coach them, which I think will probably work out better for Billy Donovan in the long run. But I will say this about the Illini. They are efficient on offense. They're pretty good on defense, and they have depth. They have plenty of contributors on this team that can come in and score and do everything that you need them to do.
And I'm certainly looking forward to how they play against either Duke or Connecticut. It's going to be a very tough challenge. Duke is the best team in the country right now, best team in college basketball. I still have them winning the national championship. Sorry, Illini fans, but you know, Duke has just been unstoppable all season. Certainly since the end of January, you know, Duke has definitely been red hot. Connecticut's also going to be a very tough opponent. So it's going to be interesting to see how Illinois matches up with them. But I'm definitely starting to like Illinois' chances here because they've definitely proved something to me over these last couple of weeks. Not that they didn't have the talent to do that. I just thought maybe that, you know, maybe the competition was going to be a little too tough for them. But they certainly have proved me wrong, and I'm glad they did.
I wanted to catch that Illini score this afternoon. And when I tuned in, I heard... I don't even remember who I was listening to, but they said, you can't discount Iowa. They did really well considering they have, and they named this 44-year-old guy. Is he a player or is he the coach? I was like, what?
I might be a player because the coach is much older, but I will say this about Iowa. They play Illinois tough every year.
Yeah.
That's always a game to circle on the calendar because, you know, some years, you know, Illinois will hand Iowa, a big loss. And other years, Iowa, you know, pulls off a win on their own. And it's always a tough matchup. And certainly, you know, I would imagine that, both Illini and Hawkeye fans would have much rather the game would have been closer to home instead of having to travel all the way out to Texas. But, and keep in mind, Iowa beat Nebraska the other night. So, you know, Big Ten has been well represented in this tournament, and they've had, you know, quite a successful run. And now Illinois is continuing that. And Michigan has a chance to continue that today when they play Tennessee. And I actually have Michigan as one of my final four picks. But the thing with Illinois, you know, Keaton Wagler, you know, enjoy watching him while you still can because he's probably going to be a top five NBA pick in June.
Wow.
I don't see him sticking around beyond this year. The way that he has performed these last couple of months, NBA scouts have taken notice, and there are definitely some teams that will be looking to acquire his services when the summer comes. So enjoy him while he's here. I also like watching Andrei Stojakovic. It's easy for you to say. Well, I watched his father play. His father was Peja Stojakovic, who played with those Sacramento Kings teams of the early 2000s. And, you know, he's a very accurate shooter, just like his father was. And, like I said, the Illini, definitely they have some size in the front court, which is something that they kind of had been lacking the last couple of seasons. But they, you know, now, you know, they have a complete team. And it's definitely going to be they're definitely going to give, whether it's Duke or Connecticut, they're definitely going to give them a tough time. So certainly if they do lose next weekend in Indianapolis, it's not going to be a blowout for sure. Yeah. It's going to be a tough game. So Illinois is definitely going to, you know, make their impact on this tournament one way or another. I'd love to see them come back for the national championship. Whether that happens remains to be seen. They're going to, like I said, next weekend, they're going to have a very tough opponent. But one way or another, this has been a fun team to watch. And they're definitely going to give, whether it's the Blue Devils or the Huskies, Illini is going to give their opponent next week a run for their money. It's going to be a fun game to watch.
I need to clarify something because earlier I said that tomorrow my money was on Michigan, even though I'm a Tennessean,
right.
UT. A listener thought I am a UT graduate and I'm not supporting the Volunteers. Yeah, I'm not a graduate. I was there for a couple of years. I was at the agricultural branch of UT, which was a whole different world coming from Chicago. So I am rooting for Michigan. Get the big orange out. Go. Shoo.
You know, away. That's a very interesting shade of orange they have there. It's not, you know, regular orange. I don't know. It's more like it looks more like a peach color.
How funny you should say that, because when I was there, it became a very big deal. There was a car that came out called the Pacer.
Yep.
And every sports team at the University of Tennessee got an orange Pacer. And we all walked around going, that's not really orange. That looks like a big peach. So you're right on there.
Yep.
And they, after I think the first summer that they were driving these Pacers, they realize there cannot be a hotter car because there was so much glass
in the Pacer.
It was like you were driving around in an aquarium.
Yep.
So the coaches say, you know what? It's a nice car. I don't think I need that anymore.
And as good as the air conditioning was, so much glass.
They gave back their cars, their hideous orange cars, because they were too hot. So...
By the way, I'm putting on a turn signal.
Yes.
I'm switching from basketball to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, at this point, I was enjoying the Sox so much more in
spring training
than I am in the now that the season is starting. Oh.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, at least, you know, Murakami keeps hitting home runs. You know, he's, he's living up to, you know,
he's wonderful.
The contract he signed.
Yeah.
He just hit his second one tonight.
Yeah, and right out of the box, the very first game, was like, boom, this is going to happen. I mean, really? After that, the wheels fell off.
So, you know, as we talked about, you know, last season, you know, this is a team that's going to experience some growing pains. And although, you know, the pains so far in these first two games have been kind of rough.
Yeah.
Again, it's only two games in. You know, they still have time to turn this thing around and right the ship. So,
And they're up against Milwaukee. And Milwaukee is just, that's a great team.
And we all know what they did last year. They eliminated the Cubs in the postseason.
Yep.
So, you know, they're one of the better teams in baseball. And again, you're playing, you know, in their home field. So. So you start the season on the road in a hostile environment against a team that had a pretty deep playoff run last year. So the Sox already had a tough task to start the season to begin with. So again, this is all part of that, you know, growing process. How do they rebound from here? You know, they wrap up the series, you know, Sunday afternoon. You know, if they can close out with the win, certainly we'll, you know, get them headed in the right direction. But again, you know, it's the first series of the season. You know, let's not hit the panic button. You know, the calendar hasn't even gotten to April yet, but...
And I'm looking forward to their home opener, which is, what, Thursday, I believe?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know, but again, it's good to see Murakami, you know, living up to the contract he signed, and that's why they signed him, because he has that big bat.
And it's fun to watch him, because he just seems like he's so confident when he comes up.
I mean, the way that he, you know, torched pitching in Japan, I mean, it was only a matter of time before he found his way to the big leagues. I was actually surprised when the White Sox landed him. I thought he was going to go, you know, to a contending team.
Yeah.
But, you know, here he is with the White Sox trying to help this team turn things around. But, you know, again, you know, this is all part of the growing process for the White Sox. So, you know, it may take them a few games to kind of, you know, find their rhythm and get it together. So, you know, again... You know, looking at who they're playing, they're starting the season on the road. You know, don't hit the panic button just yet.
I hate to cut this short, Gabe, but the guy in the newsroom is going to get mad if we're late. So we better wrap this up and let the guy in the newsroom.
I know. he can be tough sometimes. But, I didn't graduate from UT. I'm not rooting for Tennessee. It's Michigan. Please.
Okay.
We got Tennessee people listening. Sorry.
Are we at our final half hour?
We are. So, we just sat down.
we sat down quickly.
And we did.
Okay. There's an article that just popped up in Guitar World about 2 days ago, and it's an update on some of the struggles that Brian Setzer has been dealing with. Brian Setzer from the Stray Cats and the Brian Setzer Orchestra, and with the autoimmune disease that he's been dealing with.
Well, he canceled his tour last year, the 2025 tour, because the autoimmune disease that really affected his performance was the cramping in his hands. He couldn't play guitar.
Well, not only could he not play guitar, he was sharing an update with Guitar World, and he said... The best way I can describe it is your nerves are like wires, and wires have sheathing on them. That coating has kind of eroded, so the wires malfunction. Basically, they lock up my hands and feet. I can't move them. I can't button my pants, let alone play guitar.
I also heard that he said trying to play guitar was like wearing big gloves. They just couldn't feel what was going on.
And he went to the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, He said, I was lying in there and some guy next to me has got cancer.
Hmm.
He said, after a year of treatment, he slowly but surely started his road to recovery. And he said, that I was able to hold the guitar pick. That came first. And it was all right. I'm more than halfway there. And then when he was able to finger pick, when his fingers came back, he said he had the whole package. But, and he's being really, really honest about this, he says his dream of returning to the stage was further delayed due to his unintended dependence on over-the-counter herbal wellness tonic.
Huh?
It's called Kraton. Which is a controlled
Kraton,
K-R-A-T-O-N, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is a controlled substance in several states.
Mm-hmm.
He said it started innocently enough. They advertise it as a safe tonic to give you energy, and it's not. So that just aggravated the whole thing. I just stopped everything and went away and cleaned out and came back fresh and clean. I had to get everything out of my system.
That's I had not read that part of it because remember when I was taking CBD oil,
yeah,
the oil had kratom in it, and I never felt like there was any addictive properties to it.
But apparently this was a whole different different level of it.
Did he ever say in that article what his autoimmune condition was? Because that was kind of a mystery. The I can't play guitar, I feel like I'm wearing gloves, my nerves are alive and raw.
Let me see if it mentions.
I didn't see any name anywhere.
Battling a debilitating autoimmune disease. Okay, I'm going to click on this link and see if it takes me to whatever that autoimmune disease is. Diagnosis. It just says an autoimmune disease.
Interesting. And autoimmune diseases are one of those things that we're certainly familiar with a handful of them. But I cannot recall when we as a people, first started talking about autoimmune diseases. My folks didn't know anything about them. Just think, in the 60s, nobody talked about them. We didn't have a term for the things that we're dealing with, whether they be Sjogren's or lupus or celiac.
And when I was first diagnosed with celiac, I think that may have been the first time that I'd ever heard anything about autoimmune system.
No, actually, I think arthritis was being talked about, various forms of arthritis as being autoimmune. And lupus in particular, and Sjogren's, and those. But we were unfamiliar with celiac, so the fact that it went under that umbrella. And one of the...
But the first time I became really more aware of it was when I was doing research to find out what kind of hepatitis I had.
Right.
And the doctors had given me tests for A, B, and C. And if you're new to this conversation, it has nothing to do with drugs or alcohol or anything. My autoimmune system was trying to kill my liver. And the doctors were giving me all kinds of... I had turned a screaming yellow zonker yellow.
Mm-hmm.
They knew I had some kind of hepatitis. They couldn't find out what kind. And it was so bad that I could hardly walk across the room. One night I was sitting at the computer and I just did a search for anything that had anything to do with celiac disease and hepatitis. And I came across this... It was a British... autoimmune hepatitis site.
It was a scholarly paper had been written on celiacs. People with that disease, many of them were developing autoimmune hepatitis. And we went, huh? And in fact, our GP had never heard the term AI hepatitis. AI before AI was the thing.
And fortunately, our doctor happened to live about a block and a half from us.
Yeah.
So we took this article to him. He said, I'd never heard of this. They ran the test, came back positive, so that's when I wound up in the hospital, thanks to you and Paul Harvey.
And when you ended up at Northwestern, you were a bit of a...
I was a research study because they'd never seen anybody with this condition.
A rat, a lab rat, but you would have groups of students come in daily because they had not had a patient with autoimmune hepatitis.
Because the doctor who was treating me would bring in... his students and say, and they asked me, they said, do you mind if I bring the students in to talk to you? And so I was kind of a case study.
You were a lab rat. Now Well, back to Brian Setzer. I understand there will be a 2026 tour. He feels optimistic about these positive things that are happening. So it looks like he's going to hit the road and end up in Vegas in July and probably not going to be doing, you know, dozens of shows. And maybe, you know, this is something that he will get over completely and he'll just get back to touring as he always did before. But as I said to you, I would love to see him live. The closest we got to him was standing in a hallway with him, a dark hallway.
At the Ryman Theater, backstage.
We're standing on the stairs, and I'm going, wow, I'm standing one stair above Brian Setzer, and I can see all that hair.
Because he was there to see Dwayne Eddy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was part of one of Muriel Anderson's All-Star Guitar Nights, and we were backstage and with Dwayne, and there was Brian. And
the alley door opened, and he stepped in, and I gasped. I heard myself go, oh, yeah. And he walked right up the stairs, and he was two stairs below me. And like I say, I'm looking right at that fabulous head of hair going, I don't think I said anything.
It makes me think of one of the other people that we ran into who was the nicest guy. He was a backstage guard or maintenance man, and we wound up talking with
him. He'd been there for like 60 years.
He had stories.
Yes. He was in his late 80s, and he said, I'm not leaving this job. I love it, and they love me. And so, that's one of the reasons why we were hanging out backstage.
Because he was just a very cool guy. We spent the better part of an hour just hanging out with him. And instead of doing a last caller tonight, Julian. For those of you who weren't paying attention during the start of the show, we made an announcement that because we are going to be at the Grand Canyon next week, this will be the last week that we are working with young Julian.
Yep.
He is leaving us for greener pastures.
Yep.
And I'm not dying.
No. He is leaving us so he can have Saturday nights. I know. I'm on to him. Right, Julian?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Fess up.
It's nothing to do with you guys.
I know. I said you want to have a life. It's funny like that.
This was my life. And I love this life, hanging here with you guys on Saturdays.
And I love fattening you up. Who will I fatten up now? Bob is a diabetic and Gabe's on a diet. Nobody else is going to eat the stuff that I make.
Just call me when you make them. I'll do a drive-by.
Okay.
Quite seriously, I did a quick calculation tonight of the number of producers that we've said goodbye to. Want to take a wild guess?
12.
I'm up to 37.
Oh.
Not because they don't like us, but frequently they decide they need a life.
Yeah.
And they're like, I'm living with you at night. And no one has anything to do with me during the day. I got to move on.
And we've told the story of one of the producers that almost fell asleep and crashed as she was driving home. There are some people that just can't handle overnights.
Right.
And
right.
That there's nothing wrong with that. Some people just can't do it.
Well, when I first started here at WGN, I was doing a Hochberg show.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Get here at 8 in the morning.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started doing your show. I'd be here 8 in the morning till 4 a.m. Sunday.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one, I remember there was a podcast where I did the same hour twice. I thought, oh boy, I'm going to have to take this work home with me.
You were napping on the couch, right?
Yep, napping on the couch. Yeah. We have a little room where you just kick back and...
What do they call that? The comfort room?
I think so.
Or the support room?
Oh, wait. Trade secrets.
Or the nervous breakdown room? When you think you're going to lose it completely, you go in there and scream?
That's the unofficial name for it.
Right.
By the way, I'm signaling for a turn here. Speaking of nervous breakdown, Bob Dylan fans were ecstatic because about a week ago in a concert, he did an Eddie Cochran song called Nervous Breakdown. It was horrible. I'm a Dylan fan. This was one of the worst things I've ever heard Dylan do.
Now, is it horrible because he did it live, or just a horrible Dylan
just
song in general?
Horrible.
Horrible the way he did it. It's a great, listen to Eddie Cochran's version. That's wonderful. What Dylan did was a couple times sing Nervous Breakdown, and people thought, oh, he's doing Eddie
Cochran. They were going nuts. Yay! And I'm like, really? You're all stoned. That's all there is to it. By the way, that's something I'm going to miss. I thoroughly enjoy...
Being stoned?
The night is still young, Steve. Come on. No, I've thoroughly enjoyed watching and listening to your music development over the past 3 years. Yeah. We get tickled when it is a dealer's choice and you get to pick the song, and we sit here going, where is he going with this? And there's always a reason why you pick the song you pick, and that's so much fun.
That was one of the first things I learned back in radio school.
Mm-hmm.
Just learning how to, you know, what do they say? Hitting the post and
sure,
kissing the post.
Yeah. Kissing the post.
Yes,
yeah, I heard them both.
Right.
By the way, the blatant plug light is on. So if people want to get in touch with you, where, what, and how?
Google my name, Julian Saldierna, last name Saldierna, and you'll find me. I'm what you call a celebrity, I guess.
You are, yes, and you're an excellent videographer and photographer. So if you've got a wedding, if you've got a 50th birthday, you want to talk to him about hiring him to do your videography or your photography.
As you should.
Yeah,
if you need headshots, if you need music videos, I do all that. Be sure to head over to the Steve and Johnny YouTube page. Check out all their videos from the last 2 years.
Yep. Including the Tommy Emmanuel that is up to about 140,000 hits so far. Yep. And your website specifically is?
So it'll be starting with my last name, Saldierna, mediaproductions.com.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find all my work over the years, over the last 6 years.
Ah.
But my favorite work has been with you guys.
We waited just long enough for
you. Yeah. We're giving you.
Even that pregnant pause. We're like, okay.
Okay, is he going to
beat? No.
I will say, of all the jobs I've ever had, I'm not, blowing smoke up your way. I have never enjoyed working with someone more than I have with you guys.
Oh, thank you.
I've always been told I'm an old soul, and
you are.
My favorite coworkers ever. It makes sense.
Not yeah, because we're old.
That's not what I said. I only applied it.
Well, we may be Gabe's radio parents, but we're your radio parents too. So you're going to have to answer my texts. That's all I'm saying right now. Because you don't answer my texts, so I figure I'm going to see him on Saturday, so I'll get an answer to my question. But if you're not here on Saturdays, buddy, I'm going to harass you.
I promise to answer all of your texts since I don't know when I will see you next.
Listen to Steve. He's like, let's see.
Yes.
Because he's on the receiving end of mine. Well, I don't know. Is he alive?
Oh, don't worry. I'm sure I'll be held accountable.
You will be.
Looking back over the last 3 years, any guests that stand up? Because people don't know, but before and after a guest comes on, Julian is talking with them off the air, and you've had some fun conversations with some people after we've just wrapped up an interview. I know, well, we just played Red Peters. You had a great conversation with him after
had
him on.
I know we had been talking for months about getting him on, and then I finally, I don't know what happened, or I reached out and said, hey, we'd love to have you on the show, and he just responded within a day and said, I'd love to. And when I talk to him, he's a very, very low-spoken guy.
Yeah.
But he is so sarcastic, very just deadpan humor. Love talking to him.
Mm-hmm.
Sydney Friedman was a joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just so much energy. But on the music side of things, to the many people I've recorded videos for, I'm sorry, but Nikki O'Neill and Rich Lukowski are my absolute favorites.
Well, they'll be thrilled to hear that. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask why.
Why?
just the way they effortlessly perform. They're just so comfortable here. And not to say that the others aren't, but and plus I'm a big fan of the album Stories I Tell My Friends.
Yeah, it's a great album. Yeah.
And I think you're also a big fan of couples that are married and work together.
Yeah, apparently.
Right.
Same thing with Erica and Josh.
Erica and Josh from Empty Pockets.
Mm-hmm. I think we did, what, 4 sets of them?
Yeah.
Maybe 5 sets of videos.
Yeah.
Possibly another on the way. We'll see. TBD.
Right.
Yeah.
And, of course, Tommy Emmanuel.
And the first time that you met Tommy Emmanuel.
And that was the first video I did for you guys.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Was that the first?
Yep. The one time he was here, that was the first one. Tommy Emmanuel.
That was the night of my high school reunion. Yeah. And we breathlessly left the reunion so we could get here because he was at the Park West, and then he came over here. And you play guitar, too. So that was kind of cool because anybody that plays guitars are like, you want to be in his presence.
And, of course, you know, we've had all these guests, but I'm always going to have those mementos from you guys, the Little More Less, your Life After Dark CD.
Oh, yeah.
And, I mean, what was that, 2024 Christmas when you gave me
Enya
guitar?
Right. Yeah.
I mean, greatest Christmas gift ever. Hello.
Oh,
Mom
come
and Dad.
On. How could you say that's better than the Buffalo print Christmas package I gave you? Everything that was red and black, you got it from the socks. They didn't have underwear, but everything else.
And we still have pictures.
Yes.
I'm going to have to send a picture of me wearing that.
Because you made the mistake of saying, I really love buffalo print, red and black.
And then
I would
said,
wear it all the time. Yep. And I said, that's his Christmas present. Everything red and black.
I ate my own words.
You did, yes.
And that's when you learn that you say something off the cuff and you think that we're not paying attention.
Right. And as a photographer, I have to say that I was really, really thrilled that I was able to give my mother's camera equipment to you because I feel like you are you're just a really excellent photographer. And that was sitting in the closet and she loved it so much. And I thought, this is a perfect person to pass it on to. So thank you for taking it. And
how many cameras do you have now?
I would say I have 16 cameras.
Oh.
Okay.
Which I'm told is nothing compared to some collectors.
Yeah.
But I tell some people how many cameras I have and said, why do you keep buying cameras?
Yeah.
You don't need that many.
Yeah, he hears that all the time.
Okay. Are cameras like guitars? I tell Johnny, and I mean this, each guitar teaches me a different song.
Mm-hmm.
Do cameras teach you different ways of...
Well, literally all my cameras have a different function, different niche thing.
Okay.
But I started reading into film photography. I'm going to start doing that.
Good.
Cool. Expensive hobby, but it'll be worth it.
Yes. Well, everything old is new again. Vinyl, more popular than CDs. So you might be on the cutting edge of a whole new thing.
Not only that, I just read today, Maxell, the company that makes the
cassette. I saw that.
They're coming out with a new version of the Maxell cassette recorder, and they've updated
Bluetooth
it with modern technology.
And
the 35mm jack.
Yeah.
That's just crazy.
So cool.
Again, everything old is new again. You live long enough, you'll see it all come back around again. Well, okay. Julian, thank you.
We are running out of time. We're going to be back here live in 2 weeks. But I think since this is Julian's last night, we should let him wrap up the show and time it out. You got it.
Oh, boy, the pressure is on. Well, thank you, WGN. Thank you to Ashley and all the Steves and all the Bobs here and all the Daves. But most of all, thank you to Steve King, Johnny Putman. It has been a wonderful 3 years with you guys. Thank you.